This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
From the 214. So I was caller number 10 and I won tickets to something, but I just turned on the radio, so I have no idea what I won. Could you tell me,
please?
So for the winner... It is it's going to be 12 tickets to the two tickets to go see some stick figures.
Congrats, Chris.
Yeah. If you want to go buy 10 more tickets, that's up to you.
Yeah, so every day for the next couple days, we're going to be giving away tickets to Stick Figure.
That's right.
I believe they are a reggae band. If you if you're kind of trying to figure out exactly somewhere probably in that slightly stupid kind of vibe, you know, something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Who is that other band that, never mind.
You mean you think the band is slightly stupid?
No, that's
or
the
in
name
reference
of,
to a song
the name
or another band.
Of okay. A band that exists.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's dive into a very, very well-prepared C-Block.
Man, G-Bag of the day, almost got it.
My first story of the day was about how the CIA created a Star Wars fan site to communicate with spies overseas. However, Alec absolutely brought that one to the world and destroyed it. It was awesome. That was an amazing AM on the FM segment today.
Thanks, man.
Manny Ramirez needs to be the next hitting coach for the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
Have we already done this today? Are you planning on doing this tomorrow?
Go ahead.
He said, I'm available to work as a hitting coach for any of the 30 MLB teams. I'm confident I can help any team significantly improve their offense. Well, Kevin and Alec, our offense isn't that great. We only scored 2 runs last night, and we needed Josh Jung to be really like, you know, we need that back, right? We need that version of him back in the game. Oh, they walked Wyatt Langford to get to me. I'll show you. We need that more. That being said, I loved Manny Ramirez, even though I learned a lot about him and how he would just disappear on you.
Does he just walk in and he's like, all right, see those syringes?
I don't know. No, I'm sure the Rangers wouldn't even consider that.
I mean, the Rangers' history is built on that.
Terry Francona once said, he's one of the most gifted hitters I've ever seen. He was almost like a savant. As a hitter, when he left the batter's box, all bets were off. Just hoping when he got to first, he made a left. But in the batter's box, man, he was light years ahead of most of the other
See?
Guys.
Okay. This is why... This is why I'm intrigued by this move. Because Manny doesn't actually have to do the work. He can just tell you... Or show you what to do.
Yeah. He sees it.
I just hope he makes a left.
I just hope he makes a left.
All right. So you don't think he comes in and he's like, these are the people I would contact. Don't use these people. They've already been tracked by the FBI. These new people, though.
Manny's the guy, though. Remember, he caught a fly ball on the wall and then he high-fived a couple of people because he was running up the wall and he was just like, high-five, everybody. I don't know, man. I know a lot of people got rubbed the wrong way by him. But from my seat, most of his career was hilarious and fun. So for anybody that was a teammate of his and didn't like him.
Hilarious and fun.
I believe Mike had, like, he played on a team with him, I think, right, for a year. And he was like, nah, he was kind of frustrating to some people.
Hey, look, as long as we're hiring unending hitting coaches, I think we should. Because we got rid of our, quote, offensive coordinator. And then Brett Boone came in. And he's like the co-hitting coach along with this other guy who didn't get fired in the other purge. So why not bring in another person and be like, yeah, he's also a co-hitting coach.
Hitting purge. Kevin, do you know who Connor Daly is?
Yeah, he's a golfer.
Nope.
Likes to smoke.
As John Daly.
Drink beer.
Connor Daly is a racer. And he had what some would say was an excellent Sunday at the 109th. Indianapolis 500.
Didn't win.
After qualifying 11th, he led 13 laps in his number 76 Junkos Hollinger Racing Chevrolet. Now everybody knows that. Ultimately earned 8th place, which Kevin, as you just said, didn't win. Because
that's probably a lot of money, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know. I'd be willing to wager that. I'm just saying.
Oh, we talked racing yesterday, didn't we? Did we talk about this?
Nope. I don't know how much money he won. Probably a lot.
I don't know how much he won either. All I know is that he urinated in his car. He said after the race, "Never in my life have I urinated in my car until Sunday. I was sitting on the grid and I was like, this is the best car I've ever been in my whole life. And I'm going to have to pee in this thing."
Yeah.
He said, "I don't know if it was diabetes or just getting old." I found out my friend has diabetes recently.
Oh my God. What is happening?
He's old.
But yeah, you definitely, if that's the best car you ever had, pee in your suit or whatever. I don't know if it was in his suit or not. You got a chance to win the Indy 500.
He said, "I literally did the entire race sitting in my own pee." So it was a tough one. And so,
hold on. Wait, no, 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 no.
What's the biggest sacrifice you've ever made?
No. The entire race.
That's what he said.
Okay, but then that insinuates on like lap 3. He's like, "Whoa, gotta go." That unexcusable. All right. You
might never know when. Do you know when you have to go?
Yes.
Is it clockwork every time?
Yeah, I mean, at least you can feel the buildup, right? So maybe he did half the race having to pee. I'll accept that.
Okay.
But like, if you
the whole race,
yeah. If you get on a flight, sit down in your seat, buckle the seatbelt, and you're like, "Oh my God, I gotta pee," then like that was on you. You should have realized that before you got on the plane.
Quick dog story real quick.
What?
My dog, he was running around having fun, right? Like, he's having fun in the house. He's doing all sorts of stuff. He's playing. He's running in circles, and out of nowhere, he sprints to the door. And, like, he's in the middle of having a blast and sprints to the door because all of a sudden he realized he had to go to the restroom. Because, Kevin, little kids and little dogs don't know when they have to go.
They have to go now. But you're a grown-up.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, is little kids are that way.
No, that's
Dale Earnhardt Jr. said, "It's rare that it happens, but sometimes it does. And if you think you can hold it, hold it. But it's also a distraction. And racing a car, you need so much focus. So if it's a distraction, get rid of that distraction."
See, that's a great point. Because I think many drivers of the past can be like, if you needed to use the restroom, you might get a little bit more aggressive with your driving so you can get to your home or whatever going to. But on the flip side,
you're counting down laps at that point. You're like, 700 more and I can't do this.
On the flip side, I could see how you need a lot of attention to race the car and you can't be distracted by anything else.
I had another thing, Kevin, but I think it is important now for us to begin finishing the all-time greatest Texas Rangers quarter century baseball lineup.
Okay.
Because so far, let's start with shortstop.
Give me A-Rod.
You're taking A-Rod. That's right. I'm taking Seager. Alec says who?
Isaiah Kiner full left foot.
Right. What?
Didn't help.
No. I'd go Seager.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. At second base. Are we still undecided here? Is it Marcus Semien or Ian Kinsler or Michael Young?
Second base, I'm going Michael Young.
Michael Young? You going Michael Young as well?
Yes.
All right, because Michael Young would have been better than Jeter if he'd have been in that Yankees lineup. I still contend that to this day.
Yeah.
You know what? One day I'm going to ask him on air. I'm going to say, "Hey, man, do you think you were better than Jeter?" Because we've always said that. And I hope he says yes.
He's going to say yes?
I hope he's like, "Dude." Or did I? No, it was Woodward that was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But I still would like it. All right. At first base, we've gone with Rafael Palmeiro.
Correct. By the way, somebody asked, even in the 2000s, here's his stats starting with 2000. 39 home runs, 120 RBIs, then 47, 43, and 38 home runs. So, yes.
Jeez.
I didn't say we had the cleanest team.
Jeez. At third base.
Beltre.
It is Adrian Beltre. And some people suggested going with A-Rod at third base. And Corey Seager at short. And I think that you just take the best defensive third baseman around and you take Beltre and you go with that bat too. All right. That's what I'm rocking with out there. In center field, Kevin, Josh Hamilton, do we agree?
Yes.
Hambone. All right. In left field, this was a point of controversy for everybody.
I'll take Wyatt Langford.
2 years into it, not even a full 2 years into his career.
He might be the only player on our team that can hit the ball right now.
Right now? That didn't mean there hasn't been another left fielder.
Then in right field, I'm putting Osuna. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I know people are going to say David Murphy. I get that.
Okay.
I'm going to go Wyatt Langford.
All right. I'm going to go with Nelly Cruz. Who do you go with, Alec?
DJ Peters.
All right. DJ Peters, is it is.
He's a pitcher now. No, I think I'd take Langford, too.
Yes.
Not going to lie.
Weird. All right. In right field, then, are we going with Adolis? The best version of Adolis or Nelson Cruz?
I'll take Nelson Cruz.
Adolis won you a World Series.
Yeah, and that's why I get a DH.
Oh, I didn't think about that. All right. Nelson Cruz it is. All right. And at catcher, this is a tough one because you did have Pudge for a minute, but not in his prime.
Yeah.
You had Jonah Heim, who that was amazing catching through that World Series run.
I'm going Napoli.
You're going Napoli?
I got to go Napoli.
All right. It's Napoli then with the rubber band ankle. That's him right there. And then we get to the pitching staff. I think it's very easy to remind ourselves of what Cliff Lee did for this team.
Cliff Lee is on my list.
What Cliff Lee did was something special.
I don't care if he was here for half a season.
This team got to the World Series pretty much on his back.
I agree.
All right.
No argument.
Somebody said no love for Leonis Martin. No. Didn't he like throw baseballs with his phone number up into the stands sometimes?
Allegedly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Allegedly?
That is true. I think Evo's a no-brainer.
I was going to say Nathan Eovaldi's got to be on here. This is where it gets tough. Because we love Colby Lewis. And do we need just three, or are we going with a five-man rotation?
A five-man rotation.
All right, then I think that Colby Lewis deserves to be on it.
I would like to ask to put a pin in that person.
All right. Oh, man.
Voodoo you might doll. Put a pin in mine.
Voodoo doll.
You, Darvish, and Cole Hamels.
All right, so Lee, Evo. DeGrom is great.
Okay.
Why are we not putting DeGrom in there?
Look, if you're going to go after rubber band ankle Napoli, you might want to hold on just a second.
Okay.
What about Derek Holland?
Derek Holland, one game is what I need out of you, buddy. One game alone.
Oh, if it's one game, then I'm putting DeGrom on the list. But I think Darvish and Hamels make the list.
Hamels.
Ahead of Colby Lewis. I'm sorry. I do.
Dude, here's what's crazy. Jordan Montgomery's not in this conversation.
Yeah.
He led you there. Now, again, that was 1 year. From the 6-8-2, Yu Darvish was great until he gives up a home run with one out left to get.
Yeah.
That is one of those things.
By the way, just to clarify for one person who got really upset, is Pudge is a Hall of Famer. That's true. But remember, this is the quarter century team. So from 2000... and beyond.
All right, I'm throwing Darvish in there, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm throwing Colby Lewis in there.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm giving us another left-hander.
Derek Holland?
Cole Hamels' friend, Derek Holland.
Man, so we're not putting Cole Hamels in the rotation?
Now I'm going to the closer.
I think this is a mistake.
Cole Hamels is our left-handed closer.
Whoa!
I don't know. Who do you do as closer here? Not Neftali Feliz. He lost you World Series. Is it Leclerc? Is it Spores? Who, like, Joe Nathan?
Ooh, Joe Posse. Nathan. Yeah, maybe Joe Nathan.
People are not Mark Lowe. You need to stop that right now.
Is it Francisco Cordero?
We've all exercised the demon of Nelson Cruz, but nobody really gives Mark Lowe enough trash for the straight pitches he would throw that got hit out of the park.
Oh, Joey Gallo said he's going to be a pitcher now. Can we put him?
No, we're not doing Joey Gallo in there.
DJ Peters should make the list, too.
We'll go with Joe Nathan and Bruce Bochy as your manager. Chris Young as your GM.
All right. We're still going to lose, but I think we're going to put up a heck of an effort.
What are you doing,
okay,
dude?
That's fine. That's your team.
That's a stat
team. No. Okay, tell me your team again.
Seager. Young.
Mm-hmm.
Because you forced him on us. Palmeiro. Beltre. Hamilton. Langford, because you forced that. Cruz and Napoli. Those are all sluggers.
All right, fine. Here's the opposing MLB team. Albert Pujols, Jose Altuve.
Beat him in the ALCS. That happened. Lost to Pujols before. I get it.
Derek Jeter, Chipper Jones, Barry Bonds, Mike Trout, and Aaron Judge all at the height of their powers. And Yadier Molina. I'm saying, that's a heck of a team.
We're finishing.
But I get all of baseball?
We're finishing eighth in that tournament.
I will win. I've already decided. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do a little bit of My Buddies in 888-77-881-1053. Plus, we'll talk with an FC Dallas representative, the North Texas SC head coach, John Gall, next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where everybody on the Oilers is an idiot.
I don't know, man. They're
just
winning
because
this
I'm mad that they're so good. Okay. They didn't actually do anything wrong. They're just really good at hockey, and
you only blame your team after the losses are done. Is that what you're saying? Like you'll blame them later. Right now, it's the opponent.
Corey, I'm really worried that maybe Canada can take it down this year.
Oh, because Edmonton's that good.
Yeah.
But Florida's still there.
Florida's really good.
Florida has their number.
Yeah.
They took them down already once. So
yeah.
I think it'll be all right.
All right, right now.
That is something you've lived off of for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating their
Unlike
failures.
Unlike Canada. You know what I would do? Their new prime minister, if the Oilers win the cup, I would take credit for that.
I would too.
I'd be like, I wasn't the prime minister before and we never won. All right.
Sure, Sanders wasn't being drafted until I tweeted.
Exactly. It's time for My Buddy's an Idiot, 877-881-1053. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or are they an Oilers fan?
I don't know any Oilers fans.
Good. I never thought that this would come up. But is Mary Lou Retton an idiot?
Oh my gosh, what are you doing right now? Our boss is going to come down here and punch you in the jaw.
Well, she just got a DUI. And
Edgummit.
She's only 57. I thought she was way older than that. Because she was super young when she won the gold medal.
Wasn't Dawson talking about her at the Super Bowl? And then
yeah,
she was standing behind him and he didn't know.
Yeah, and like he had a crush on her or something. I feel like he might be like, you guys are getting all the details of that story wrong. But yeah, I'm disappointed in her. Don't drink and drive. You should just somersault your way home.
It's not like she has the uneven bars all the way down the street.
Let me ask you this, though. If there was, like, spaced apart vault boards, do you think she would, like, just try to run down the street and just, like, vault off of it and just go down
the
street?
She'd probably get there faster.
Yes. Well, she definitely got there faster that way because instead she got arrested.
Oh, man, that stinks.
So,
is she doing okay?
Don't drink and drive.
Is she doing all right health-wise?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just see a picture and she has health battle.
Oh, no.
I'll have to do a deeper dive here.
All right. We will look into that. Now, this is not what you want. Jeff Kimball is the father of South Carolina baseball pitcher Roman Kimball.
All right.
He went to social media to announce that his son was leaving South Carolina. Now, once you hear why, I'm not entirely sure his kid is leaving South Carolina. I think he just decided for his kid. This is what he put on Facebook. Quote, I only wish this year was as successful as the previous two, but that's what happens when coaches who don't know how, in all caps, to coach and just yell and berate players all season are put in charge. While I hope the team eventually turns it around, unfortunately, it won't be soon with these two morons in charge.
Jeez. He really said that?
Yes, he did.
I like the honesty.
And he really capitalized how to coach. If you're the kid Like, you probably don't want that rep going to your new school, or if you decided to stay at South Carolina, which may not even be an option now with your dad running his mouth about how his coaches are morons on social media. That's probably not what you want.
That's probably definitely not what you're hoping for out of him, for sure.
Yeah. So
dang,
we need to get better on that. From the 469, you guys are idiots for not putting Josh Hamilton on the Rangers team. Wrong. We did put Josh
Seager,
Hamilton.
Young, Palmeiro, Beltre, Hamilton, Langford, Cruz, Napoli.
So
call me an idiot again. I dare you.
And then from the 254, Mary Lou Retton is actually my second cousin by marriage, and she is exactly the way that you would imagine she is.
I don't know what that means, because I don't have an imagination of her.
See, and that's where I think that's probably inaccurate, because I imagine that Olympians carry their gold medal with them at all time, or like maybe that she wears the leotard a disproportionate amount of time in public life.
So if you won a gold medal
all the time,
you would always have it on
100%,
knowing that like it could be stolen off your neck at any point.
The hell it would.
All right, what about world championship ring? Are you wearing that all the time?
Like a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, you know, Broadus is like, all right, we're going to Super Bowl week. I'm putting on the ring. Would you be like, I wear this every day?
I think Brian Broadus has great restraint and not just being like, oh, yeah, you think I wasn't good enough, huh? And then just knocking the Super Bowl ring on the table and stuff like that. I think he shows amazing restraint in not doing that.
Put a string on it and then use it like a yo-yo every once in a while and just bink right in the head and then pulls it back to him.
All right, well, I'm not insinuating that you should injure anybody like that.
Well, it's not injury. Just, you know, a little boop.
Okay.
Just a little boop.
Okay. Please stop whatever it is that you're doing.
You just boop. Every once in a while, you need to boop some. So people need to be booped, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
From the 682, my buddy's an idiot because he still believes Dak is the truth and elite. Yeah, I don't see how your buddy has taken that away from what we've seen. Like, elite is a really special class of quarterback, and I don't know how many people should argue or would argue that.
Yeah, he was close to elite for a year or two, close to it. And in that, I mean, Kevin, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, he finished second in MVP voting.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know. I've heard that like a million times.
The consistency of eliteness. Now,
still lost.
And there is a number out there. I don't know if you've seen the graphic where it's like Dak versus Roethlisberger versus Brady versus Drew Brees, and it shows all these stats. And the stats do point out that when Dak is winning, he's great. Like, his numbers are exceptional. Yeah. It's just there are other games that exist. That's where the elite quarterbacks really make their name, in those other games that exist, and that's playoff games.
Now, I'm not going to call this player an idiot, even though I went after all the Edmonton Oilers, because, yeah, like you said a little bit earlier, Zach Hyman is going to be unlikely to play for the rest of the playoffs, and he will need surgery. And Knobloch said, yeah, his season's probably done. He's having surgery today.
Okay.
And although he's still a hockey coach to the last, because Knobloch declined to say what the injury was.
Okay, well, here's I think that's important. Think about this for a second. Upper body and lower body injury.
Yeah, because it looked like it was his arm.
If you just report it that way.
Yes.
Then I don't know that Rope has an ankle problem and that I should go test his ankle.
No, I'm
and
with
so
you on that.
And so reporting these injuries like that is probably the best for these games, so that stuff like that doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, you know what? You're bleeding out of your leg. Let me jam a finger in there and see how it feels.
Yeah, and even with the surgery, I believe he was like, no, we don't need to get into the specifics of what happened, which yeah, I think is exactly. Just freaking amazing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, joining us, FC Dallas is playing at FC Cincinnati tonight, and we bring to you...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You, North Texas SC head coach, it is John Gall. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. All good?
Yeah, we're doing excellent. How about yourself?
Doing great. Thank you.
Now, help me out with this, because we came from a set of community papers that included the Flower Mound area. You used to coach Marcus, right?
I did for a long time.
Fantastic. Back-to-back state championships in that run, correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you love to hear it.
Do you wear your championship ring all the time, or is, like, how do you handle that?
They get medals.
You get medals?
No, we have rings.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you wear it every day, or does it go into a little box?
Special occasions.
Okay. See? All right. Special occasions it is, Kevin. Kevin wants to win a gold medal in the Olympics, and he said he'd wear it every day, and I just think that would be obnoxious.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've been with North Texas SC for a couple of years. Can you tell us, like, how your journey took you to North Texas and, North Texas SC more specifically, and how North Texas Soccer Club operates in the FC Dallas system?
Absolutely. So, long story short, I've been with the club probably close to 10 years now. Came through the academy, director of coaching in the youth club, worked closely with Chris Hayden, paid my dues, if you like, in the youth club, dealing with any and all situations that arise in the youth club, dealing with parents and teams and coaches, transitioned into the academy, worked with the younger age groups, U12 and U13 in the developmental phase, which I enjoyed thoroughly. In all honesty, when I kind of reflect on my coaching journey, those ages really kind of helped me become a better teacher in the game, just understanding what young players needed, and then transition to the U19 Academy, where you're dealing with quite volatile ages in terms of young adults who kind of think they know it all. And so you have to kind of put them in their place a little bit and just make sure they understand the pathway. And then 2.5 years ago, I was called in to be an assistant coach with North Texas under Javi Cano. It was a really good opening period for me, dealing with second team players, getting to know the environment and kind of how things worked. And then, unfortunately for Javi and fortunately for me a little bit, where things didn't go quite well in his pathway within the club. And the club made a decision to bring me on as interim head coach for the last, I believe it was nine games of the season, and we were charged with kind of turning the team around a little bit. We felt that we did that. We finished with a good run. We actually finished with a couple of wins away at Austin and against Austin and away at Houston. In the off season, then the club gave me the position on a full-time basis, which was an incredible opportunity for me to kind of show the club what I can do, and especially the trust that they'd given to me. And we started the season really well last year. We were 7-1-4, and we had just beaten Minnesota away, a very difficult team last season, as they are again this year. We had won 3-0 away, and I got a call from Andre, and he basically said that Peter Lucene would like me to join him as his assistant with the first team. And it was it was a no-brainer for me in terms of having the opportunity of going to work with Peter with the first team, but it was really kind of a bittersweet moment. We were doing really well with the second team. We built a really strong foundation with that group. Obviously, that led to, that group winning a championship last year, but really proud of what we were able to kind of start there. And it was a really challenging period of time with the first team last season. As we know, the team was in not a great position when we took over. And we kind of felt that we did a lot of good things with the group. We didn't quite make the playoffs last year, but we felt that we did a good job with the team. And then in the off season, the club obviously turned to Eric rather than Peter. And essentially that put me back with the second team, which I kind of knew from the onset that that was a possibility. But, you know, as I said from day one this season, you know, I certainly don't look at going back to the second team as a demotion in any way, shape or form. I'm in a privileged position. I'm proud of being the head coach of North Texas Soccer Club. And, you know, hopefully again this season we're kind of proving to people that, you know, we're continuing to put the club on the map. We're joined top for the Western Conference at the moment after a little bit of a shaky start this season. And, you know, now it's time to continue to roll. So that's kind of the short version of kind of where I come from within the FC Dallas framework.
When you talked about the potential volatility, especially of maybe the ages like 13 to 19, was it the kids that were more volatile or was it the parents? Because I know soccer parents can really be intense.
Well, I think in the academy, it's a little bit less, you know, dealing with parents. Obviously, while I was director of coaching in the youth club, obviously you're in the pay-to-play model. And, you know, it is a challenging environment. I mean, you know, people are paying, you know, a lot of money each year. And the expectations for good product and good coaching and good mentoring is always there, and you know that's what we strive for within the FC Dallas youth model. But in the academy, it was a lot more, you know, dealing with teenagers. You know, teenagers sometimes are hard-headed. They, you know, they have their view of things, and you know we try to kind of steer them in the right direction. You know, it's a really as we know, an incredible academy at FC Dallas. You know, we've been able to produce many, many high-level players, and you know, and then sometimes with that, when you get success and when you get things going well within a young organization or a young group of people, sometimes you know, it's you got to make sure you steer them in the right direction. So I learned an awful lot in the academy. I was around some really, really good people: Chris Hayden, Lucio Gonzalez, Mikey Varas, you know, to name a few. And it's been a really good learning tool for me to come all the way through the pretty much every tier of the FC Dallas system, from, you know, coaching youth teams to director of coaching to young academy teams to mid-age academy teams to older academy teams. Assistant coach with the second team, interim head coach, and then obviously our first team assistant coach too. So I think I've gained quite a few stripes on my sleeve. So certainly proud and privileged to be able to say those things about the opportunities FC Dallas and you know the Hunt Sports Group has given me.
Well, obviously your impact's still being felt from the 972. Tell coach I said, hey, he was my coach back in 2004. And that's from Daniel nice. Cutter. So still people reaching out. That is super cool. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No, it's, you know, one of the things that, you know, I set out on my coaching journey a long, long time ago was, you know, trying to do the right thing for people, trying to treat people right and developing really good relationships. And, you know, to get that note there from a kid that I coached in 2004. I was at the airport on Monday when we came back from Tacoma, and a former player that I coached around that same time actually ran into me, and he was headed out to Colorado on some business, and he ran into me. So it was a really neat thing, and it was good for our players to kind of, you know, ask the question, hey, who was that guy? And I was like, well, I coached him probably before you were born. So, and hopefully in 20 years time, you guys will come and say hi to me at the airport too, if I'm still, coaching. So
boom. Thank you so much, coach. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
Very good. Thank you guys.
There you go.
Great stuff,
dude. John Gall right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah. Oh no, he was always nice to talk to at Marcus, by the way. FC Dallas plays at FC Cincinnati tonight. That's Lucho going back to his home or his previous home. And then FC Dallas will host Philadelphia on Saturday at Toyota Stadium. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation next right here on The Fan.
He looks very tired as he retrieves it. Pestered by Janmark up at the line. It pinballs out. Another shot of the empty net and a goal.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now, brought to you by D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Heggy. How are you?
I am doing well. We could talk Stars or we could talk more about hamburgers. Which direction would you guys like to go?
I was pretty off put by Choppy's hamburger take this morning during crosstalk.
You could say that for a lot of Choppy takes.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I'm like, it's, why would you, unless there is like an active issue with your body eating cheese, why would you not want a cheeseburger over a hamburger?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
Is there any chance any of you fine gentlemen are, let's wait to put the cheese on until after the burger is cooked, people?
I mean, in a perfect world, it is the final few moments on the grill. It is melting onto the cheeseburger. I think that is exactly how you want it. Ultimately, you need the end result to be melty cheese on the burger.
See,
so ultimately, however you play that, if the burgers are hot enough and you just throw the cheese between them, stack them, wrap them, and then it melts down, that's fine. But I want a melted cheese. It's embarrassing when it's just like a cold slice of cheese on top of a burger.
And that's
like,
anything to trap grease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything, like I said, if you got a point where you see your burger and you flipped it and then you've got that kind of that grease pocket on it, maybe from where it's been on the backside there, that's where, like I say, when you see it coming through that moisture part, trap it. That's what you want to do.
So capitalize on that grease pocket. Don't let it just disappear.
Yeah, don't let it just disappear. Like if you put the cold piece on when you, after you've, you know, you always ask people when you're serving, hey, how many want cheese? And that way, you know, you set four aside, no cheese.
Right.
And then you're kind of like, cool, that's my crew.
But
over there.
I always imagine that the four non-cheese that you set aside are people that wish they could be a part of the cheese group, but you for whatever reason.
Probably there's something wrong.
There's no way you're just...
Either that,
you don't like cheese on your burger.
They're against Velveeta or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Are you? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's hit days and there's miss days, Hagee.
Yeah.
Today's a miss day
for me,
Hagee.
We can't all hit at the same time.
I'm star sad today.
I'm sorry. We'll try to find more uplifting things. But, okay.
A cheeseburger.
No, I definitely go cheese. Even though, I mean, I do know there's a lot of people that are Jewish that are kosher. So they can't mix the meat and the cheese. I think Muslim religion is similar in that regard. But other than that, unless you're like lactose intolerant, you know, I'm definitely, I'll go with cheese.
Well, I'll tell you what you need to do, though. If you're going to do the cheese, you know, think about not just going with, and nothing, I could say the Velveeta slice is cool, kind of old school way of doing things. But try and go for a different style of cheese.
You know, fancy cheese. You got a particular in mind?
Well, like, you know, if you go pepper jack, gives it a little bit more flavor.
A little zesty.
I'm down for a cheddar.
So yeah, try even a combination of cheeses. Even grading your own cheese makes 1,000% different. If you have it graded and you put it on there and the way it kind of melts on there. But just don't just sit there and settle for it. If you're going to cook burgers, man, make it a little more gourmet if you can. You know, go with the cheese. Make sure the bun's a good vessel. It's not like some cheap, non-soft thing.
That was the other thing.
Toast them while you're at it. Toast them in a little bit of the beef grease and all that stuff.
Need some tallow in there,
bro. So you got it. The King's Hawaiian roll pretzel bun.
Yeah,
bro. The pretzel. I know you're. You guys were.
It's really good.
Dawson can co-sign. We talked about this.
We did it. I did it with the beer, cheese, and brat thing.
I took King's Hawaiian pretzel.
Yeah, that was really good.
King's Hawaiian pretzel. Do it on your next burger.
Do it.
I mean it.
Do it.
Seriously, dude. That was pissing so much. Why everybody just pooing the entire crosstalk was just pooing on the pretzel bun.
Fun fact about Corey, and this is one of my favorite things he's ever said on the show. He goes, pretzels are the food that they serve in hell. And I like the idea that you went to hell, but they still get a snack for you.
You order a beer and then you slide these snacks
hell.
Out.
You hate still get.
It is going to make you extra thirsty, though.
Yes,
I mean, if you're
true.
Parched pretzels, you're like, man, I wish I had a beer.
Yeah. That is fair.
There you go.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Heggie, thanks so much for asking. We're going to try to have some fun. you know, focus on the positive. Let's have G-Bag today at 5:30. You know that move from 2:30 to 5:30.
Yeah,
a lot of Tolos are wondering where it is. We still replay the champ for you every day at 2:25, though.
All right. I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say, lighten up, traffic.
Yes, please.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.